Benvenuti alla prossima puntata di Italian Talk for Lovers of the Language. I am Melissa, la studentessa Mata, the crazy language student coming to you from San Francisco in California, where you can find me when I'm not traveling in Italy. I promote the study of the Italian language and culture through the blog Il Diario di Uno Studentessa Mata.
Ciao a tutti, sono Cher, and I'm the creator of the site The Iceberg Project, where I teach people how to charm Italians in their own language and finally become fluent in Italian. Thanks for joining us again on another episode about the Italian language and culture, and the two go hand in hand definitely. By understanding more about the culture, language learners will have more insight into the language itself. We also like to randomly discuss topics of interest, so you never know what we might talk about.
We also love to throw in lots of Italian phrases, vocab, and idioms as well. So listen closely and bear with us as we practice la nostra pronuncia, our pronunciation, right along with you. The best way to speak the language is, well, just to speak it. Throw away your inhibitions, buttare via le inibizioni.
Yes, I completely agree. Sono d'accordo. Practicing out loud is the best way to migliorarsi or perfezionarsi, get better at the language. Allora, cominciamo.
Va bene. Secondo me è stato un inverno brutto, sia in Italia che negli Stati Uniti. It's been a nasty winter in Italy and the United States. Snow, ice, and cold temperatures everywhere. I grew up in the Midwest, and I remember well those long, cold winters that never seemed to end.
But after a long, cold winter, of course, it's always great to see those first signs of spring, right? They tell us that spring is dietro l'angolo, right around the corner. And I look for signs like the birds making nests and chirping, or gli uccelli che fanno i nidi e che cinguettano, the flowers that start springing up, i fiori che spuntano, and the first warm rays of sun that fill you with hope that spring has arrived. I primi caldi raggi di sole che si riempiono di speranza che la primavera è arrivata. And as you might have guessed, today we're talking about la primavera, or spring.
Yeah, once daylight savings time arrives, just like the birds nesting, you know that spring has sprung. At this time, I'm happy as a clam. The Italians would express this idiom by saying, sono felice come una Pasqua. I'm happy as an Easter egg. Non c'è bisogno di spiegazione. La Pasqua è una festa che dà gioia. No need to explain for this expression because Easter is a celebration of joy.
That's a great expression. And at first when I read it, it didn't make sense to me because I was looking for the word egg in it. But it's just one of those idioms, I guess, that just means what it means, right?
I know, but happy as a clam makes any more sense?
Right. Absolutely not. I don't even know why clams should be happy. We eat them.
No. Pazzesca.
But Easter is definitely a sign of spring, and I love it because we can wear dresses, I can wear sandals, and the sun is out, and it's like not killing me in Vegas, so I love that kind of weather.
Well, here in the States, Easter conjures up images of dyeing Easter eggs, jelly beans, Easter egg hunts, and the Easter bunny. My mom and I would go out into the country, and she always liked to pick out the perfect pussy willow bush or the thorn bush, which we would hang all our dyed eggs. Sometimes we'd hand blow them, and I like to paint them and make really creative looking eggs. And like Christmas here in the States, Easter is considered a religious holiday, but we also have a lot of parties and festivities that are geared towards kids. There are Easter baskets, little presents, lots of jelly beans, hiding of the Easter basket for the kids to find on Easter morning. We used to even leave the back door open and dribble jelly beans so it looked like the Easter bunny had left them as he jumped into the house. Yeah. So there are a lot of traditions that go along with Easter, but when I asked some Italian friends to share stories about Easter, I got some interesting responses. In Italy, there are no Easter egg hunts, and there isn't even an Easter bunny who leaves eggs for kids. Non c'è un coniglio di Pasqua who hides, nasconde le uova. These come from the Northern Europe traditions, Northern European traditions, and are not Italian traditions. However, the Italians have adopted them like they've adopted other things like the Valentine Day traditions we talked about in our Valentine's Day podcast, or the Halloween traditions that normally they don't celebrate.
Right.
However, the coniglio or better yet, la lepre, the hair, is considered a Roman symbol of rebirth. It symbolizes nature that is reawakening because the lepre changes its fur color in the spring. Italians' friends say that Easter is primarily just a religious holiday.
Yeah, it is a religious holiday, but there's also La Pasquetta that falls the Monday after Easter. And this is a day when families go out in the countryside in Campania to have picnics and fun. Fare una gita fuori porta. And by porta, they mean outside the gate or the walls of the city. Many cities in Italy were fortified by strong walls, and there was only one main portal or one main door to enter or to leave.
Yeah, it's just like you'll find in Lucca. It is a city surrounded by this continuous circular wall. Le mura di Lucco circondano ancora tutta la città e le porte sono gli accessi al centro.
Yeah, and a lot of towns in Italy are like this. They have like the medieval feel. I think it was Cortona has it as well, the walls surrounding it. And then where I was in Viterbo for 6 months, they have this as well. But moving back to the Pasquetta, it is a gita or a brief day trip into the surrounding countryside.
It's also officially known as Il Lunedì dell'Angelo. And people go out and visit friends. They discover new trattorie, taste local products, or drink wine. And, or as Fischer mentioned, they take a picnic out into the countryside and just goof off.
That's right. So there's this other popular phrase, and it goes, Natale con i tuoi, Pasqua con chi vuoi. Christmas with your parents, Easter with whoever you want. And as a quick cocktail party fact for you, i tuoi, i miei, i suoi, any of those three refers to parents. It's shortened from saying the full i miei genitori.
Yeah, that's right. And of course, Christmas is a holiday that you spend with primarily your family, while Easter is more special, more of a social or touristy holiday, thanks to the fact that Monday following Easter is also a day off from work. So the Italians have this very nice long weekend.
As Italians prepare to celebrate Easter, the church bells fall silent all through Good Friday and Saturday prior to Easter Sunday. But at around 11 p.m. on Saturday night, the bells begin to peal, making a beautiful cacophony of music so that even non-believers receive the message and can appreciate the jubilant mood of the moment.
I love hearing the bells in Italy, and it's one of my favorite things. We just don't have the same kind of sounds here in the U.S. I love being awakened to the bells of the church. For instance, when we were in Val d'Orcia, the bells rang not only in the morning and during the day, but they rang all night long. So you could tell if you woke up in the middle of the night exactly what time it was. So for those insomniacs, you could take pretty good, you would know exactly how long you were awake. And also I remember in Venice, the bells would ring in the church. But those bells only started up at 7. So they didn't go all night long. But it was a clear indication that it's time to get up. Because they'd start off really slowly. It'd be like this bong, one bell at a time. And then all of a sudden it would pick up until it went off for like 3 minutes. And it was just this beautiful, beautiful, you know, all these bells ringing together. So I do like the bells. And at Easter time, in addition to these bells ringing, you have all kinds of special holiday treats and dishes that they make. And let's see, one thing comes to mind is they make a dish. Of course, it's traditional to serve agnello, l'agnello, or lamb. And it is either fried or roasted on a spit. But also beyond lamb, there is another traditional food, which is the bless. Well, what they do is they bless eggs.
Wait, so two questions.
Okay.
What is a spit? And also, what is a blessed hard-boiled egg?
Well, let's see. The spit, you know, is like they put the stick through the lamb. So they take the big lamb and they roast it on this thing that turns over like a fire.
Like a big kebab. And it sounds,
yeah, like a big
lamb kebab, only really big.
It sounds sad and delicious at the same time. I feel bad for it, but also I want to eat it.
Oh, it's good. Do you like lamb?
I do like lamb. I could
like. Yeah, I do too. I like it.
I have a big rosemary bush in my backyard, and so I like to do little lamb roasts, and I'll put like garlic and you know, the salt, make a rub with a rosemary, and it's really delicious.
I'll have to come try it.
And let's see, the egg. So this is interesting. So according to Lorenza, who we're going to hear from in just a bit, she says it is a Tuscan tradition to take an egg to the church to be blessed, and then it's cooked. And it's interesting because I know I had an aunt who used to take her dogs and cats to go be blessed by the priest at the church, but I never heard about having an egg blessed, though. So it's kind of fun. And let's see, the tradition of serving lamb, I believe, comes from, you know, back into the Bible. It's a biblical thing. And as to the tradition of blessing eggs, it's that is even more ancient, with roots going all the way back to Greece and Persia, where they exchange eggs to celebrate spring. And after all, the egg symbolizes new birth and new life. So, of course, it's even in antiquity, it symbolizes that.
I keep trying to imagine, like, a bunch of Greeks and Persians just walking around exchanging eggs. Like, hey, here's an egg for you.
Well, maybe that's where the first Easter egg hunt came from. I don't know.
Maybe they played hide and seek with their eggs.
Yeah, just said, hi, here's an egg.
Oh, we should also point out that egg in Italian is a regular noun. So the singular is uovo, spelled L'UOVA, and the plural is le uova, spelled L'EUOVA. There are lots of other irregular nouns like this, and one is the word for arm. So the singular is il braccio, and the plural meaning arms is le braccia.
Now, you know you've really arrived as a language student when you can appreciate the differences between le uovo, le uova, le uova. even now, I still have to stop and think, and I'm so proud of myself whenever I get it right, but it's tricky. So, yeah, that takes a little extra concentrating to get that. All those irregular nouns correct.
Especially when you're actually talking conversation, like speaking quickly, and then you have
to remember. Yeah, because you think, oh, I know this, and I'm gonna say it right this time, and then it comes out wrong. So be patient. It's a journey.
It is definitely a journey. But in Italy, although they don't spend a lot of time dyeing Easter eggs, hiding or hunting them, they don't hunt the eggs. They do exchange l'uovo di Pasqua. This is a candy egg, which can be quite large and is made out of candy, of course, normally out of chocolate. And inside, you'll find a little surprise, and so you're just dying to crack open the egg and see what's inside.
Exactly. Do you like what I did there? How much fun is that? So, yeah, last year when I was in Florence, I actually made sure my friend, I sent her an email and said, please, please, please have l'uovo di Pasqua waiting for me when I arrive. Because even though I arrived a couple days after Easter, I didn't want to miss out on this l'uovo di Pasqua.
Right.
And they're so beautifully packaged. And you see in the vetrina, the Le Vetrine, all over, like when I was in Florence, these displays of these beautifully cellophane wrapped eggs, and they got beautiful ribbons, and they're just eye candy.
That was a good one.
Anyway, they're almost too beautiful to unwrap, but of course I did. And there's a special way you crack them too. I can't quite remember. She showed me, and because inside there is this special little prize, and usually it's, you know, not that great of a surprise. It's
underwhelming.
It's more fun to eat the chocolate. You can dine on that for a couple days. I think it took us a week to eat the
egg.
That's so but, you know, the Italians are so amazing at how they wrap things.
I know. And it's ridiculous how beautiful things are.
Beautiful. I mean, you could just be buying toothpicks, and the lady will just wrap it all up in a beautiful little box and put the ribbon on it and present it to you. And you're like, oh, wow.
Look at my new purchase.
I know. So, yeah, Italians, hats off to you for how beautifully you present things.
And on a more adult note, when I went to the Perugia Chocolate Festival, which is a yearly festival, and it's beautiful and amazing, they had eggs in foil. And when I bought it, I thought, oh, these are chocolate eggs, I should buy them. I bought some, and after looking at the package in Italian, it said, so you don't get a surprise. And I was like, what does that mean?
You always get a surprise in the egg,
right?
So what was wrong about these?
And then I noticed that it wasn't just a normal candy egg. It actually had condoms inside, so you don't get a surprise with a baby.
I get it. So, your egg doesn't become a surprise.
Exactly. So on that high note, I think it's time to hear from our first guest, Federica Lorenzoni.
Yeah, Federica is a friend who grew up in Tuscany. She graduated from the University of Perugia with a degree in political science and international relations. And more recently, she's found a career in the fashion industry, and she's now working in marketing. Well, she worked in marketing in Italy, and now she's in Brussels, Belgium, furthering her career. And I met her when I was traveling in Umbria and got introduced to her and had some fun evenings having some festa. I had a festa with her, a party with her. She's so sweet. And she has recorded a message for us in which she tells us some childhood memories that are related to her family in Sinalunga, her grandparents' house, which is located in the Val di Chiana. And I've actually been to, not her house, but I've been to the Val di Chiana and in Sinalunga specifically, because we were staying in La Moscadella, which is in the medieval village nearby in Castelmuzio. And we took the train to Castelmuzio, and the man who runs the agriturismo where we were staying kindly came and greeted us and brought us to his agriturismo. And we stayed there for a week or how many days. And, you know, it's right in that whole area where, you know, that famous calendar picture with that windy road and all the beautiful trees that are lined up along it. So it's right in that area. It's just a phenomenal area, and also near Pienza and Montepulciano. And so after we were done, we were ready to move on to Siena, and we were leaving in the morning. And I remember we were kind of taking our time. We were hanging out by the pool and packing. And our friend came down, and he's like, well, he was going to drive us to the car rental agency in Sinalunga. And we were taking our time, but he gets like, hurry, hurry, we have to go. We have to get there. And we're like, oh, relax, we're fine. We can take our time. And he's like, no, no, you don't realize we have to be there. So we're like, okay. So he puts us in his car and takes us there. And then he was so apologetic because he said, oh, we're here too late. And I said, why? And he goes, well, the car rental agency, the Hertz agency, closed like at 1 o'clock. And there was a sign on the door. And I guess he knew this. He said, there's a sign on the door saying, I've gone to lunch and I'm going to my son's soccer practice. So I'll be back in about 5 hours. And we were like, oh, this is why you're telling us to hurry. So he took us out for an aperitivo, and then we had some coffee. And then we finally just shooed him, said, listen, you don't have to worry about us. We're fine. So we sat in the park in front of the train station, and we read our books and watched the school kids come and go. And it was just a slice of life, and it was so much fun to, well, it was a little, you know, toward the end, we were getting ready to get on to Siena, which we finally did, but we got there pretty late. But you never know what's going to happen in Italy.
You really don't. That's a beautiful memory. I think that's one of the things we should appreciate more. Like, it's just a small moment, even when things go wrong, right?
Yes, exactly.
And in a similar thread, Federica shares some of her memories about the traditional Easter holiday meal her grandmother prepared for her in their family home in Sinalunga.
Yeah, here's Federica.
Ciao a tutti. Mi chiamo Federica e sono italiana. Sono cresciuta in una regione del centro Italia, l'Umbria, ma sono nata in Toscana e si può dire che tutti i miei ricordi di quando ero bambina sono legati a questa regione, la Toscana, appunto. In particolare mi ricordo che il giorno di Pasqua lo passavo sempre con la mia famiglia, a casa dei miei nonni, a Sinalunga, nella zona della Val di Chiana. Mi ricordo di questa tavola apparecchiata per 25 persone. Sì, lo so, siamo tanti, ma siamo italiani. E mi ricordo di questi pranzi incredibilmente abbondanti. In Italia c'è la tradizione per Pasqua di far benedire al prete il cibo che si mangia. Non proprio tutto tutto, ma quello più significativo, come ad esempio le uova sode, il vino e dei dolcetti che mia nonna faceva per il periodo pasquale e che si chiamano ciambellini. Io ero la più piccola della famiglia all'epoca e quindi aspettavo il giorno di Pasqua come un evento straordinario, perché già sapevo che avrei ricevuto tantissime uova di cioccolato. Dopo pranzo, spesso andavamo a fare una passeggiata nei dintorni e sicuramente la vista delle colline toscane ci aiutava a digerire tutto quello che la nonna aveva preparato. E credetemi se vi dico che era tantissimo cibo. Purtroppo, quando i miei nonni sono venuti a mancare, non ci siamo più riuniti come prima. E quel tipo di eventi mi mancano tanto. Non tanto per il cibo. Sì, ok, mi manca anche il cibo. Ma perché quel pranzo era un'occasione per riunire la famiglia e rivedersi tutti in un giorno di festa. Il giorno successivo, il lunedì di Pasqua, andavamo a fare un picnic in campagna, in genere con gli amici. Si partiva con un cestino pieno di salumi, prosciutti, caciotte, pecorini, pane e vino, in genere tanto vino. Io ero piccola e non potevo berlo, ma mi sono rifatta gli anni a seguire. Quest'anno passerò la Pasqua con i miei genitori a Bruxelles, dove mi sono trasferita lo scorso anno. Sicuramente ripenseremo al pranzo che facevamo 30 anni fa in Toscana, a mangiare le uova sode benedette, i salumi, il formaggio e l'agnello. Che bei ricordi!
Grazie Federica, che bei ricordi! Those are great memories. She says, sono cresciuta in una regione del centro Italia. I was raised in central Italy. Ma sono nata in Toscana. I was born in Tuscany. These are static statements, so she uses the past tense or the passato prossimo. Ho fatto qualcosa, ho mangiato, sono andata. These are other examples of specific events that have a beginning or an end in which you would use the passato prossimo.
And another past tense is called the imperfect tense, which she used when recalling past events and describing them to us. So the imperfect tense is one that you use with continuous actions, so things that happened over and over again. And it's also used for emotions, the weather, or a specific time period. We see this when she says, "Il giorno di Pasqua lo passavo sempre con la mia famiglia." She said she always passes it with her family, lo passavo sempre, which indicates a continuous action.
Another example, she says, "Quindi aspettavo il giorno di Pasqua come un evento straordinario perché sapevo che avrei ricevuto tantissime uova di cioccolato."
Federica's recordings are so much fun because she recalls the blessing of the eggs, which we discussed, and the foods that we previously talked about. She also talks about the Italian chocolate Easter eggs and how much she looked forward to getting them.
Lots of them. She also talks about La Pasquetta, the Monday after Easter when the Italians take the day off and go into the country to have a picnic. Si partiva con un cestino pieno di salami e prosciutti e tanto vino. So she not only likes the chocolate, she likes the wine too.
Well, I would love to be there and have the same picnic with chocolate and wine.
Yeah, Tuscany is so pretty, and especially in springtime. It would be so fun to go out into the country, take a passeggiata after eating nonna's big meal.
It would be una favola, which means a fairy tale. And I imagine that it would be like stepping into one of Botticelli's paintings, because he was a Tuscan painter after all, and fittingly enough created the amazing painting La Primavera, a celebration of spring that is in the Uffizi Gallery in Florence.
I've stood in the Uffizi Gallery enraptured by this painting. It's enormous. And with all our talk about Easter and Easter eggs, it's also fun to know that Botticelli painted this piece using paints called tempera grassa, which was a new medium in Italy at the time. Tempera grassa are paints in which, fittingly enough, egg yolks are used. And these egg yolks are modified by the addition of oil to make the paint more transparent.
There are eggs everywhere in Italy, obviously. And the painting La Primavera is quite lovely and was finished in 1482, so a long time ago. And it depicts a group of mythological creatures in a garden. The garden represents the lush growth of spring, and the figures in the painting are, from the left, Zephyrus, the biting wind of March, and he is said to have kidnapped the nymph Chloris, whom he later remarries and transforms her into a deity, and the goddess of spring, the eternal bearer of life. You can see her scattering roses on the ground.
And the Medici family commissioned this painting. I'm sure you knew that. And it was Vasari who gave it its name, or he coined the name La Primavera, when he viewed it at Villa Castello, just outside of Florence. And Vasari is credited to
being the first art historian and the first person to catalog the lives of the artists during the mid-1500s. He was also a painter, and he did inside the Palazzo Vecchio, and he did a lot of the frescoes or the paintings there, but he really tried hard, but he just didn't achieve the same kind of fame.
Didn't make it.
So I think he just decided, you know, I'm going to write about these artists and promote them because I just don't have the same kind of talent. But we art historians are indebted to Vasari because he gives us such great insight into, and some of the stories may be a little fictionalized too, but it's still, if you ever get a chance, you should read The Lives of the Artists by Vasari.
And we will have pictures of Botticelli's painting on our websites, so you can look at it and have a better view of what we're discussing. And the show notes are at icebergproject.co/92, the number. You can find mine and Melissa's show notes there. And now we want to introduce to you another Italian friend who has made a recording for us. Her name is Lorenza Bevicini. Lorenza is an Italian teacher who lives in Lucca.
I love her last name, Bevicini. And I'm so looking forward to meeting her when I go to Lucca in June. And Lorenza also has written for me a guest post that you can refer to, and she tells how she started up her online language school. The links, again, will be in the program notes. But here is Lorenza, who also shares some stories about Easter with us.
Ciao, sono Lorenza, insegno l'italiano e abito a Lucca. Parliamo un po' dei simboli della Pasqua in Italia. Il primo, fra tutti, è l'uovo. La Pasqua, intesa sia come festa religiosa, ma anche intesa come festa di primavera, indica il momento della rinascita, la natura che si risveglia, la fine dell'inverno, l'inizio quindi di una nuova vita. E ogni uovo è potenziale portatore di una nuova vita. Oltre a questo, l'uovo è pieno e quindi simboleggia l'abbondanza ed è perfetto nella sua forma. Le uova di Pasqua, di zucchero colorato o soprattutto quelle di cioccolato, quelle che vengono regalate ai bambini, contengono all'interno una sorpresa. Di solito è una sciocchezza, un piccolo giocattolo oppure un classico, un portachiavi. Ci sono però pasticcerie che producono uova di cioccolato artigianali e lì ci si può accordare per inserire nell'uovo la sorpresa che si vuole, qualcosa di più importante o anche di prezioso. Quando ero piccola ricevevo tante uova di cioccolato e che non potevo però aprire fino a Pasqua. Le uova si rompono la mattina di Pasqua. Allora io le scartavo con attenzione, facevo un buco sotto l'uovo, guardavo la sorpresa, che di solito era un portachiavi, e poi richiudevo tutto in modo che nessuno si accorgesse. Poi a Pasqua le aprivo e dicevo: oh, che sorpresa! Ma chissà se ero convincente. Un'altra figura legata alla Pasqua è la colomba, simbolo di pace. Esiste anche il dolce tradizionale pasquale a forma di colomba, meno famoso e anche meno buono del panettone natalizio. La colomba come dolce ha un discreto successo, ma quello che caratterizza il periodo precedente la Pasqua in ogni angolo d'Italia è la preparazione delle torte dolci o salate tradizionali. La serie è infinita, le variazioni innumerevoli. A distanza di pochi chilometri, ogni piccolo centro ha la propria o le proprie torte tradizionali di Pasqua. La torta tradizionale di Lucca è la torta di verdura, che è una base di pasta all'interno della quale si mette un ripieno di riso e verdura. La descrizione a parole di questa torta non rende l'idea della bontà che ti innamora appena l'assaggi. Fidatevi, io non sono lucchese, anche se ci abito da 30 anni, sono umbra. Ed è quello che mi è successo. Appena assaggiata la torta di verdura, è stata un'esplosione di sapori che mi ha fatto innamorare. A proposito, Melissa, Eva e Antonella, durante le lezioni di cucina a Lucca Italian School, fanno delle torte di verdura buonissime, anche nella variante ricca al cioccolato. Oh, se le fate, mi aspetto un invito, eh? E chiudiamo con un ultimo ricordo legato alla Pasqua e a Lucca. A Lucca esiste dal 1500 circa la Confraternita della Misericordia, che è un'associazione di volontariato nata per aiutare i malati, i meno fortunati, per trasportare i feriti in ospedale, per seppellire i defunti. Fino a qualche anno fa, i volontari, per regolamento, poiché la carità doveva restare anonima, indossavano una tonaca nera e un cappuccio in testa con solo due buchi per gli occhi. E nella settimana di Pasqua, i volontari, così vestiti, giravano per la città per raccogliere le offerte. Anche Paolo, il fratello di mio marito, partecipava come volontario alla raccolta così vestito. Ma per me e per gli altri parenti e amici era un vero incubo. Infatti, immaginatevi la scena: quando mi vedeva, mi veniva incontro scuotendo la cassetta delle offerte, così. Io versavo il contributo, che però non era mai di suo gradimento. E quindi continuava a scuotere. Dai Paolo, te l'ho dati anche ieri. Ma come, non ti bastano? Ecco, te ne do altri, però vai via, eh. Paolo, basta per favore. Ecco, basta. Mentre la gente mi guardava, sicuramente pensando: eccola quella che non vuol fare l'offerta alla misericordia. La sede della Misericordia è in piazza San Salvatore, davanti alla bella fontana scolpita da Jacopo della Quercia, che è più famoso per il monumento funebre a Ilaria del Carretto, che è di una bellezza da togliere il fiato. I lucchesi sono molto orgogliosi della loro città. Io, che come vi dicevo, non sono nata a Lucca, davanti a loro non lo ammetterò mai, ma voglio confidarvi un segreto. Hanno ragione.
Grazie Lorenza, what a lovely voice you have. As we have been discussing, spring and Easter celebrate the moment of rebirth. She says, La Pasqua, sia come festa religiosa, come festa di primavera, indica il momento della rinascita, la fine dell'inverno e l'inizio di una nuova stagione, di una nuova vita.
She uses the word rinascita, which comes from the verb rinascere, to revive. It's also the word where we get rinascimento or renaissance, the birth of ideas, culture, science, history, and the study of the human body as an art form.
And Lorenza, when she was little, was quite mischievous. She said she used to take her chocolate Easter eggs and carefully unwrap them, make holes in them to see what was hidden inside, and then wrap them back up and act surprised when she could officially open her presents.
Oh, she's pretty sneaky. I probably would have done the same thing. Well, she talks also about the traditional torta di Pasqua, or the Easter pie, which is made different ways in every little village. They can be sweet, dolce, or salate, salty. In Lucca, apparently, they make a torta di verdura. I can't wait to make that dish with my cooking class in our language group, with our language group this coming June. It sounds delish.
And how interesting that her description of the Confraternita della Misericordia, a charity that collects for the poor at Easter time. The volunteers wear these black robes with hoods over their heads, and they only have small holes for their eyes. And during the week of Easter, the volunteers roam around the city collecting offerings or donations.
I can just imagine Lorenza being teased by her brother-in-law or her cognato. And despite the fact that she'd already donated money to the charity, her cognato would continue to ask her for more every time he met her on the street, trying to guilt her into giving another contribution. Because his identity was obviously hidden by this, sounds kind of scary, this black cloak.
It's like just a burqa.
This little slip. I know, it's kind of scary. And he made her seem like she was being the stingy person because she didn't want to make another donation to charity. And he kept rattling his scatola, making noise, facendo rumore, to get her to donate more and more and more.
I can't even imagine. I would be so embarrassed. Like, okay, I'm going to keep giving you money because I have to. Like, people are looking at me.
Well, I hope she found a way to get back at him. Maybe she would break into his Easter egg and take its prize.
Oh, I would.
That'll great, teach him.
Great revenge tactic. And I'm sure Luca is beautiful in the spring. It would be so much fun just to walk her back around the walls and explore the town. Because when I was there, it was full force raining, so I didn't get a chance to. But what else is going on in Tuscany during Easter?
Well, let's see. Our friend Martina from our previous podcast last month says that in Spoleto, they have an egg tossing competition. Do you know anything about that? Yeah, can you? Lots of eggs exploding all over the place. What's up with that? And speaking of things exploding, share what's going on in Florence?
It's so odd. In Florence, they have this thing called Lo Scoppio del Carro, La Mattina di Pasqua.
Wow. What's the next?
Wow.
I just can't imagine. What does an exploding wagon really have to do with Easter and spring?
Well, the morning of Easter, picture this, right? A cart leaves the Porta a Prato filled with firecrackers.
That sounds Eastery to me. Right there.
Me too. Yeah. La mattina di Pasqua parte da Porta a Prato un carro pieno mortaretti. The cart is pulled by white oxen and accompanied by people dressed up in period costumes. There are also musicians and spandieratori.
Ooh, I love spandieratori. They're men in tights tossing those big, heavy flags up into the air.
Oh, men in tights.
Ooh, who doesn't love men in tights?
Appunto. Well, the cart makes its way all the way to the Piazza del Duomo. And from the cart, there's a steel wire that extends all the way to the main altar of the Duomo. On this thread runs a dove. A dove?
A dove?
It's a dove. Sorry. Sorry, everybody. It's a dove. Una corombina. A puppet in the shape of a dove stuffed with rockets and firecrackers.
Okay, an exploding corombina. Well, you would think a corombina is supposed to be a symbol of pace, peace.
Right.
So what does this puppet dove do exactly?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because during the noon mass, the Archbishop of Florence sets fire to the dove. He sets it on fire.
It's getting better and better.
Just better and better. Which should, air quotes, should, in turn ignite the chariot, making it burst into flames. If this happens, it is a symbol of good luck for the city. But if La Colombina doesn't succeed in exploding the cart, the Florentines are sad and must face a tough year ahead.
Oh, we don't want to see any sad Florentines, do we, this year? Well, I hope that dove manages to explode that cart, because Italy needs some good luck this year, especially, well, there's just been so much going on. And you know recently that Florence's mayor, Matteo Renzi, has been asked to be the new prime minister. He's the center-left leader, I believe, that's correct, and a very, very young politician. He's only 39 years old. And he has this ambitious plan to reform the country and cut taxes. And his energy and enthusiasm are like a breath of fresh spring air for many Italians.
Yes, and we know that Italy definitely needs some new ambitious plans to help revitalize the economy, because it's not going so hot right now. But I have a lot of faith in him. And so do many of my Italian friends. And some have hailed him as Italy's JFK, poised to take power and reform the country. Others are skeptical, and they think he's too young and have likened him to Mr. Bean, even though there's kind of a resemblance.
I've seen the pictures on the internet. They're kind of simpatico, or you could say divertente. As mayor of Florence, he's pretty popular in Florence, and he's even been seen cycling around in his jeans and his black leather jacket and his retro glasses, sunglasses. And so people have even, not only Mr. Bean references, but they've been referring to him as the Fonz.
Yeah, so if you want to see a blend between the Fonz and Mr. Bean, go find a picture of Matteo Renzi. However, he's a big fan of the US and Jovanotti, and so for that and his ambitious reforms, he has my vote for sure.
He's got my vote too, and I talked to friends, and they're a lot of people feel pretty positive that this could possibly potentially bring some new changes to Italy. And Renzi, he's got a big task ahead of him, and he's trying to deal with this Italy's crusty old regime.
Yeah.
And he's hoping to reduce the members of parliament, which boasts something like 630 members or deputati.
That's
just incredible when you think about how our representation in the U.S. and Italy is about the size of the state of California. And
I
mean, for having 630 people, Californians represent,
that'd be insane.
It's just insane. So just reducing those numbers of the deputati could save a lot of income, because you got to imagine each of those politicians is being paid a boatload of salary. So anyway, hopefully that can, you know, that would be one of the measures that he can introduce that would cut savings, and that money can be put to use in other ways in Italy.
Yeah, and the challenges that his government faces are enormous. And the news has said, he has said he wants to create jobs and economic growth, but so far we have little indication on how he'll actually do that.
Well, stay tuned, because le dita incrociate, fingers crossed, that's one of my favorite expressions. And again, it's an irregular noun, so le dita incrociate, that Mr. Renzi can bring some positive changes to Italy. In bocca al lupo, Renzi.
If he was here, he would say in crepi. And I can't wait to get back to Italy and Siena. I know you're going to be there too. It's very soon.
Yeah, that's right. I'm looking forward to getting back to Italy and Lucca, where I will spend a week with the Lucca Italian School for 12 days, immersing in Italian language and culture. And that's in June. And then again, I'm returning in August to the Tenuta Lupinari near Arezzo. And you can find more details about my trips on the Studentessa Matta blog.
And maybe I'll actually see you there. Maybe I'll come stalk you and hang out with you.
Oh, that'd be fun. We could hang out on the walls of Lucca, perhaps.
Ooh.
And hopefully there won't be torrential downpour. Or exploding doves,
I don't want either of those.
Just lots of chocolate.
I
promise. Yeah.
And I'm glad it's spring and we'll be there in spring, because I feel like there is so much possibility for growth and new beginnings.
Me too. Anch'io. I love the idea of life perpetuating itself, joyfulness and rebirth. I'm all about happiness and il rinascimento. It's also my birthday month. I know you have a birthday coming up. We're spring babies. So, of course, this is a really fun time. Usually have a whole month-long birthday celebration to celebrate. It's a good time to have a party. And it's also a good time to go out and bask in the sun, finally, and soak up all those sun rays.
Yeah, and pull out the shades, gli occhiali da sole, and get out our tank tops, le maglietta smanicata.
Yep, and I'm ready for la pasquetta, and per fare una gita fuori porta, too. So, ci incontriamo il lunedì dopo Pasqua, Cher. Facciamo un appuntamento. Che ne dici?
Che ne dico io? What do I think of it? I think it is a great idea, and I think it's a great idea to make another date with you next month to discuss Umbria, Calan di Maggio, and other fun festivals happening in Italia a Maggio.
Fissiamo un appuntamento!
Ciao, ciao!
Ciao a tutti!